FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is August 15th, 2018. Well, lots going on. Gold, precious metals continue their decline along with other commodities. We're seeing a breakdown in copper that no one in their right mind ever expected. It's down to $261.2 per pound. We're seeing crude oil below $65. Dow is holding strong, and so is the good old greenback. What does it all mean? Well, first, what it means is you need to participate in the show. You need to send me your emails. I've been getting so many of them. I'm right now I'm about 85 behind, I confess. By the end of the day, I will be caught up. At least to me, caught up is only having 25 in the hopper. Again, the email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. We're going to have a bit of a sporadic schedule next week because I'll be moving, and we're going to move our base of operations. Like I told you last time, I'm going to try this social experiment of just setting up the studio in a Starbucks, preferably one where they don't know me because they won't do mean things to me if they know me. So I'm going to set up the studio in the Starbucks, have my mixer there, a microphone with a boom. I'm going to put my sign up on the door, Financial Survival Network, and I'll buy coffee. You know, it's the least I could do if I'm going to steal their space, if I'm going to squat there. You know, commercial squatting, I think it's an idea whose time has come, and I'm going to pioneer this movement. So I will be doing video of this. You'll be able to find it on YouTube, and let's just see the reaction. Then we're going to take I'll be in jeans and a t-shirt, like what I always wear at home. Then we're going to take a well-dressed African-American man in a suit and tie, and we're going to try the same experiment, and let's see what happens next. Hey, well, what happens next? What's going to happen next in precious metals, in the stock market? Hey, should you buy iPhone futures? That's the question. Is that a good investment? Because that's what you're doing when you buy Apple. You're buying iPhone futures. You're betting on the future of the iPhone versus the other phones. Well, someone who's got very strong opinions about this, you've heard him here many times before, and he runs two august publications. I'm talking about Ned Schmidt. And Ned, your publications, The Value View Gold Report and The Agri-Food Value View, often cited on Kitco.com. Ned, welcome back.
Hi, Kerry. How are you doing this morning?
All right, all right. I'm just trying to figure out whether I should go long iPhone futures or short iPhone futures, or maybe do some iPhone options.
I think you need to think about something else, Kerry.
You do.
Well, that's a circle you're going to get into that you may never come out of.
Yeah, that's a problem. Well, you know, look, I used to consider myself the prime iPhone Apple consumer. I would upgrade every single model, no matter how trivial the upgrades were, because they were always somewhat meaningful. Now it's like I got an iPhone 8. Should I go to the 10 so it has facial recognition so that the NSA will have my picture in their database if they don't already? I mean, I just don't see benefits here from the 10 versus the 8. I don't see any reason to upgrade, and I can't believe that there aren't millions more like me.
I still use a 6, Gary.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you upgrade it?
And the only reason I got that is the 5 broke.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, if the 5 hadn't come apart in my hands one morning, I would probably still be using it.
Hey, well, my son, he had a 5 or a 6, and he works out. And only person I ever saw who dropped a dumbbell on his phone, shattered the screen. The case was actually bent, and the thing still worked, amazingly enough. It still worked. That just
shows that shows you what I've always thought is exercise is not good.
Yeah, certainly not for iPhones. Don't use it as a place to rest your dumbbells. That's for sure. So, and maybe there's a lot of dumbbells resting their money right now, parking it with Apple. Is Apple a one decision stock still, or is it going to fall, Ned?
I think it'll fade. I mean, nobody owns RCA. Nobody owns General Electric anymore. I mean, why would you think a long-term investment in a third-rate telephone company is going to save you? You know, that was a conversation this morning that I was reading, Terry. This gold is obsolete because technology is more valuable. We can create nonsense like bitcoins.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry, I was reminded of, I don't remember the exact year, let's say 1929, mm-hmm. when the head of the patent office, the U.S. patent office,
yeah. mm-hmm.
said he thought we should abolish the U.S. patent office because everything that needed to be invented had already been invented.
I heard that, yeah.
And you know, Kerry, it really bothers me that mm-hmm. people are putting their money at risk and they don't know anything about history. I mean, history did not start in 1998 when some of these people were born.
You sure?
That is not the beginning of history.
Yeah.
It goes back a long way beyond that.
Hey, well,
gold has out-survived every empire since Babylon.
Yeah.
And every technology it has survived.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because if we didn't have gold, Kerry, we'd invent it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm reading an interesting book right now. It's an audio book. It's called Debt, The First 5,000 Years by David Graeber. And what he says is interesting. I don't know that I agree with all of it. He kind of said that money evolves because of the state. The state creates conditions for creation of money, whatever government it is, whether it's a village and they trade Coke bottles or whatever it is. And that without the government, you wouldn't have money. He claims that the economists view that money emerges as a solution to problems to facilitate exchange, free and open exchange, or not so free open exchange, is incorrect and is anthropologically false because governments are created. And he uses the Sumerians 5,000 years ago is a perfect example of that. But I think he misses the point that civilizations come and go, but precious metals are always there.
Yeah, that's true. And because we need a commodity that has the durability of gold, has the shortage nature. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to replace soybeans, I mean, gold with soybeans, because we can grow soybeans. We can create them. We can't create gold. And that was that's part of the fatal flaw in the cryptocurrencies, is there was no limit on how many of them you could create.
Exactly.
And so therefore they have no value as money in the long term.
That's such a great point, Ned. And look, California states on the West Coast, on the left coast, believe that they could create a hemp or cannabis based economy. And, you know, when there's a shortage of cannabis, that's a great thing. Just like when there was a shortage of casinos, because you only had Las Vegas and then you had Atlantic City. But when all 57 states legalize, which they eventually will, you might very well see surpluses. And then that maybe you can't use cannabis as a unit of exchange or money in the economy, although I'm sure there's a lot of cons in prison who would love to be trading cannabis for money.
Well, one of the things that's going on right now, Kerry, is what's being done to the value of currencies around the world.
Mm.
by these mindless traders.
But you repeat yourself. You repeat yourself. Traders are mindless, and mindless people generally wind up as traders, right?
Yes. Yes. That's the only thing they're good for. Yeah. But this thing with Turkey and these other currencies that are being crushed,
mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand the risk that's arising.
Oh, it's monumental. It's like a dozen countries. Currencies are imploding right now. You know, you could say like, hey, Turkey deserves it. Iran certainly deserves it. And so does Venezuela, because they allowed these idiots, strongmen, to run the show. But you got a lot of other countries like Argentina, et cetera, Pakistan. Well, maybe they deserve it too. I don't know. But you got a lot of countries. Brazil, that's not a good thing. There's a huge population in Brazil, and they all seem to be living in our state, Florida, right? If they aren't here now, they plan to come here, or they're going to come back or whatever. I can't tell you how many Brazilians I meet every week in the state, Ned. It's incredible.
They got to be somewhere.
Yeah, well, okay. And they'd rather be here, because at least here we have some semblance of the rule of law. I wouldn't quite say we have it, but we've got a semblance of it, right? So
right.
In Brazil, they got nothing except the armed street battles and, you know, crime rates that make ours look like tame, crime rates that make Detroit look like a safe city, right? That make like Chicago look peaceful, right? So, but yeah, the currencies are imploding, and this is exactly what we've been talking about for years, Ned, that the dollar would the last one to go. Russia, their currency is going. China's currency is under attack. All of them are. Is this all the work of sociopaths, or is this just a flaw in the global financial system that has opened up vulnerabilities to the entire so-called free-floating exchange rate system?
Well, let's make sure that our listeners, Kerry, understand the vulnerabilities, because Turkey has put at risk something on the order of 100 billion euros of loans.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain for a second to our listeners what that means, how that happens. Let's say you live in a developing country, a popular one like Turkey has been before Erdogan. And the currency exchange rate is 100 local currencies to the dollar. And so you're a business person and you borrow $1 million from a Spanish bank. That converts into 100 million local currencies,
mm-hmm.
so that you can pay your workers and the electric bill and taxes and gasoline and all that. Well, anyhow, then you elect somebody like an Erdogan, who's a tyrannical dictator that starts screwing up the country.
Well, you think you elected somebody like Erdogan. You don't really know if you elected him or not, but apparently by some movement of the stars, he is your president. He is your dictator, and you're stuck with him. So what happens next now that you got this maniac?
What happens next is the currency collapses, like Turkey's has. Now the exchange rate is 200 local currencies to the dollar. So when the banker calls you up and says, we need your check for $1 million tomorrow to pay off your loan, it's going to cost you $200 million in local currencies to pay off the loan. You don't have it, your business goes bust, and the Spanish bank has to take a hit. Now, this is starting to happen around the world. And we're going to wake up some Monday morning and some business or bank that none of us ever heard of, the bank that started the Great Depression.
Right, yes.
Nobody knew its name the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to be able to buy gold the next morning because it'll be gapping up. This is serious stuff, Kerry, that's going on with these currencies. And I don't think that most investors, particularly in the United States, People have lived with one currency all their life. There are people that have never done an exchange of currencies. So they have no sense of what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. You know, I remember, Ned, when I was a younger man traveling in Europe, and I drove 1,500 miles, and I changed my money four or five times before there was a euro. And then I went back many years later, and I didn't have to change my money at all. But what I thought, I remember thinking when I was there, changing my money is, hey, I can go from, you know, Florida to Seattle. That's about the farthest drive you could do, furthest drive you could do. And I wouldn't have to change my money once. And now, you know, that's the way Europe is. But for how long is what I want to know.
Well, the Italy thing really threatens. You got Italy and Poland and Hungary, which really right now are the threats to the European Union. And I don't know how they do it, because nobody in those three countries wants to live under the EU bureaucracy. And yeah, it may be terminal.
Hey, do you know how many pages of regulations they have just so you can sell bottled water in the EU? It's like 22 pages of regulations. And water is water, the last I looked. You know, some water tastes better than other water to me, but it still primarily serves the same function, which is to keep you hydrated and living. So why do we need 22 pages of regulations on anything for that matter? Maybe medical stuff, maybe, if they know what they're talking about, which often is not the case, right?
That's true.
So,
that's true.
So real threat.
As my legs will demonstrate.
Hey, real threat though to the New World Order is the continuation of the EU. It's not going to continue in its same form in all likelihood, right?
I don't think it will.
Yeah, especially if you start, you know, Turkey and Greece, and Italy, Spain, and Portugal. They have so many problems there. Like here, we just have to worry about our states going bankrupt and not being able to pay the pensioners, right? That's our main problem. And a lot of private plans in the same boat. Larry Parks, I don't know if you know him or not, doctorate, says that the like central states Teamsters pension plan, multi-member pension plans that multiple companies contributed to and then often went out of business or bankrupt, those plans are kaputsky. And you know, we're going to see this over and over again, but I guess we're just really making the case why precious metals make sense. So what's with the current downtrend here? You know, it's 15%. I mean, that qualifies as a major correction, but what's happening here?
Again, as I said at the beginning, this is an irrational selling period. And, mm-hmm. and to try and put a rationality on something that is irrational at its heart. In other words, these are what's happening is chart selling.
Yeah.
And every time it breaks a 5-minute support level, these people sell again. There's no fundamental analysis or rationality in their thinking. I mean, if we compare gold to the S&P 500 and based on history back to World War II, which is 73 years, actually 74,
mm-hmm.
but the probability of gold going up from here, just you and I can't tell the listeners which day,
right,
is over 80%.
Uh-huh.
And valuation is not a market timing tool. It just says when markets are so dislocated that only one bet makes sense, and that one bet today
is the dollar.
Is gold.
Dollar and gold. Now, gold dollar temporarily to capitalize on the madness, but gold for the long haul.
One of my readers sent in some research that somebody does. It was very impressive research, but I couldn't get permission to reprint any of it.
Ah.
But the conclusion of this guy, this researcher, since 2013, all of the gold mined has been bought by either China, Russia, India, or Turkey. Those four nations have bought all the gold that's been produced by mines in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? That means everybody else has to buy gold that's recycled.
Correct.
And the only way you can get recycling done, it's a horribly expensive process.
Higher prices. You got to have higher prices for it.
You got to have higher prices. You've got to get someone to bring in
cash for gold.
Gold. The guy that buys it from him takes a commission. It has to go to the recycler, and they go through the complex process of extracting the gold and separating out the junk. They want to take a profit. So you probably, I would bet at today's prices, Harry, you probably cannot afford to recycle gold, because the whole process from buying scrap gold to turn it back into an ingot is so expensive.
Energy intensive.
At today's prices, you need to shut down a silver mine. You cannot mine silver today at today's price. It's showing on the screen.
No,
Gary.
No, it's very few mines can show any profit. There's two or three mines in Mexico that are profitable that have like all-in costs around $6. If you haven't seen our webinar from last week, there's a couple of those companies on that webinar. So, yeah, and silver is vital. Hey, it just reminds me, when you're talking about scrap gold, a funny story. My first ex-wife had bought me this ring. We had knocked it off of a ring that was in a magazine, and it came out horribly. But the thing weighed like an ounce. It was so heavy, I couldn't believe it. It was 18 carat. I'd never buy 14. I always try to buy 18. When you go higher than 18, then the wearing down and malleability is an issue. So you don't really want to wear that. But I could never wear the darn ring. And then the marriage went kaput. Gold was at $1,900 an ounce. She had luckily paid for this thing. And I went to my gold guy in Westchester County, New York, where I was living at the time. And I said, I don't care what this thing is worth. I just want to see it melted down, please. I want no part of this ring. And he threw it on the scale, and I'll be damned if I didn't get $2,200 for that. And it was 18 karat gold. I mean, the thing was a monster. And I'll tell you, that was the most pleasing precious metal sale that I have ever made before and since. So there's gold in those that are in them, that are wedding rings. That's what I got to tell you. And gold will have to probably go back up to close to 2,000 an ounce before cash for gold has any traction at all. And who knows how much gold people are sitting on, Ned. Hey, so we would be remiss if we didn't cover the agricultural stocks and commodities here. China definitely underestimated our president, didn't they?
Well, that, and they didn't do their math. You got to remember how China got in this position. And I'm talking about their tariffs.
Yeah, let me make one other
cultural product.
Let me make one other comment, Ned. You stated this very same fact the last interview we had, that where were they going to get all the soybeans? Were they going to stop raising pigs and cows? So I'll let you carry it from there.
The problem we have is there are only two massive producers of soybeans. That's the United States and Brazil. And a nation can only export what we call the domestic surplus. In other words, a nation will produce 100 beans, but they use 40 of them locally. So what they can export is 60 beans.
Right.
And China didn't look at this. Now, if we take the whole world and look at the domestic surpluses, China today is buying about 60-some percent of that. But if you say they're not going to buy any U.S. beans, they have to buy over 100% of all the surplus beans in the rest of the world, which means nobody else can buy any.
Exactly.
And it's just not going to work.
It's funny. So did Trump know this? You think Trump knew something that maybe the Chinese didn't perceive when he started this whole thing?
It's possible, and that's why I suspect he didn't react irrationally to it and say, well, we caved, because China is a nation that's short food. They have to import it. And to think that suddenly they're going to reorganize the whole world food system is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a problem in Brazil because one of their courts has ruled that they cannot use Roundup anymore.
Hey, so what about Roundup? Is Roundup evil or what?
No, there is no chemical in the world that has been more studied. Mm-hmm. There are over 800, that's 800 studies that have not shown any cancer causing. We have one lab in France, which nobody trusts or believes in, that said it's possibly a carcinogen. Well, everything is possibly a carcinogen.
Well, life is a carcinogen. The last time I looked, life is carcinogenic.
My whiskey is a possible carcinogen.
Oh, for sure. And beer and bacon and freaking hot dogs. So like, really,
don't talk about my hot dogs.
I love hot dogs, man, but
we're not going to trash
only Hebrew National, only Hebrew National, because they answer to a higher authority. So, you know, this is like, hey, I'd rather eat food without crap in it than food with crap. But if the crap isn't going to kill you, then I'm not like overly concerned. So they just got a $286 million judgment against them for Roundup, right? Didn't they, Monsanto? Or
that's Monsanto against them in California.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with this is we already have a weed problem.
Uh-huh.
And we don't have time to go into weed mutations and kind of stuff.
Wait, I thought they were fixing that in California and Colorado by legalizing it. Oh, is that a different kind of, you mean weeds, like crop
like
weeds?
Like grow in your garden.
Oh, okay. Sorry, hey, wrong show. Got it confused. we're starting a new show called THCprofit.com. That's THCPROP. Wait, is it PROPHET.com? So that's profit with a PH. THC profit. All right. So anyway, so we got these weeds that are threatening to overrun farms around the world, and you can't just go hire a bunch of illegal aliens anymore with pickaxes, stoop axes to cut them out. So you got to find a herbicide to do it. And Roundup is evil because Monsanto is evil, right?
That's right. Monsanto is an evil company, and anything they produce is evil.
Right.
But we got lucky, Kerry. We sold it to the Germans.
Hey, well, they're experts at poisoning people, not to get too off the track here. So the Germans own it now. It's their problem.
It's their problem.
Yeah, don't bother us.
I don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah, it's their problem. So their PR nightmare.
The two stocks that seem most popular are Archer Daniels, that's ADM, and Nutrien.
Another evil company. And who else?
Now that's just a fertilizer company.
Yeah.
The symbol is NTR. But I want our listeners to watch Eli Lilly. Put Eli Lilly on your screen.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Eli Lilly. They're getting into ag chemicals big time, right?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to spin off their animal health company, Elanco.
Right.
So I want you to have it on your screen so you're getting the news feed. That way you get the news feed.
Got it. Yeah.
Now, we have two stocks in that space now, TAHC and Zoetis, ZTS. Those two stocks are just screens.
All right.
And everybody thinks, which makes me worry, but Lilly is going to do an IPO, was going to spin off part of this stock to the shareholders, and then they're going to do an IPO with the remainder of the stock.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right.
So we'll have a third company in this space that nobody owns.
Excellent.
And so this is kind of one to watch far down the road.
Okay. Hey, we got to wrap up now, Ned, but that's a good one. So put it in your stream, Eli Lilly. Find out when that spinoff's going to happen. Spinoffs are always so great because they're almost always undervalued. Especially something like this, it's proven enterprise, mature business that is an expansionary phase, will need more capital, and is in a growth phase because the world doesn't have enough food, as witnessed by the fact that the Chinese appetite is dramatically increased over the years, the number of calories. Man, if the North Koreans start eating more calories, I don't know what we're going to do, Ned. Anyways, make sure you take a look at Ned's sites. And we told you about them before, the Value View Gold Report and the Agri-Food Value View. Ned, it's always great talking to you. Send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's @KerryLutz and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Ned, you be well. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Goodbye, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.